Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, Abdallah. Here we go.
Hello.
Oh, we haven't hosted this show in a minute.
Well, last week we did one night.
Hi, Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We are here till 8 o'clock on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the show, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Black and Abdallah with you this evening, and we have a lot to get to. We'll talk a little Bears football. We'll also get into the Bulls. They host a playing game tonight at the UC against the Atlanta Hawks, which no one in town is excited for. Like, that's going to be the conversation. Who's actually excited for this game tonight? Because I don't think anyone is pumped for an 8:30 playing game, Bulls and Hawks.
No.
I don't think so.
I'm not. I know you're not. I'm also losing my voice, so I apologize.
You okay? Did the Olive Garden take it out of you that much?
This started this morning, and it's gotten progressively worse throughout the day. I sound like
a sick day tomorrow.
No sick day.
Building up for a sick day tomorrow?
No sick day. No sick day tomorrow. I just sound like I'm going through puberty occasionally. So bear with it. No one's excited for this. Like, no one wants to do this. Like, this is not... I'm hoping they lose either this game and definitely if they win the next game. Like, I want them to lose because I don't want the front office to come at the end of the year and say, well, we made the playoffs without our best player. Zach LaVine's not here. Like, imagine what would happen if Zach LaVine was healthy and playing all year. I don't want that. I want this team to end this. Like, this needs to end. You should be trading off assets. You should be rebuilding. This should be over. But making the playoffs is something that Arturis Karnišovas and the front office is going to hang their hat on.
Of course it is. And that's what's frustrating as a Bulls fan. And it's why I can't get up for a game like tonight, because it's meaningless. I understand, yes, you have an opportunity to turn yourself into a playoff team by winning two games. If you win tonight, you then move on to Friday night and you'll face off against the winner of the game that's taking place at this moment, Philadelphia and Miami. And that game's at halftime. Miami leads 51-39 in that contest. Jimmy Butler playing well. He has 10 points. He has 4 steals. He has 4 assists. Essentially, Embiid on the other side for the 76ers. He has 10 points, 6 rebounds. And right now, the Heat are leading into halftime 51-39. So the winner of that game is where the Bulls would face off against if they win tonight. And, you know, we can get into it as the show goes here, but I didn't really want to start Bulls basketball. I did want to mention that this, if you were listening to the radio station earlier today, Carmen and Yurko had a 30-minute show. When the show ended, we all went together to the Olive Garden because Carmen had a bet that he had to pay off. So we took a trip. We got on the blue line and we took a trip up to Addison. We got off the blue line. We walked in and we had a nice lunch, a man lunch between the four of us, Yurko, Carmen, Bleck, Abdallah. And we enjoyed ourselves at Olive Garden. We had a private room in the back only for us. And we had a great time this afternoon.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, we went and we sampled everything that they had to offer. We had the salad and the breadsticks. We had some calamari. We had some fried shrimp. We had the pasta fazool, or Carmen did. Eggplant. He got eggplant parm. You and I got chicken parm. Yurko took the tour of Italy. And then, of course, we finished it off with some tiramisu. And it was fine. It was fine.
Well, I mean, I think a part of the fun that we had at Olive Garden was we walked in and I asked for a table for four. And I said, we're celebrating a special occasion.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, great. I go, it's his birthday. Carmen DeFalco's birthday. And then so at the end of the meal, they did this. So there you go, Carmen, in an empty Olive Garden, getting the full staff to sing happy birthday to him earlier today. And we had a great time. Listen, Carmen made such a stink about how bad the food was.
He really did.
It was okay.
It was fine.
It was edible. we moved on. We survived. It advanced. He was acting like the fettuccine Alfredo was like poisoned.
Like it was covered in glass. Like he found glass in it.
He took a bite of it and then spit it out. It tasted exactly like fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah.
The Alfredo sauce tasted exactly like I expected it to.
The chicken parm was fine.
There's no problem.
The pot, like, he had a problem with every dish, but he did say that the eggplant parm wasn't the worst eggplant parm he's ever had. He did say that the calamari was fine. And he'll give a full review of, but the way when he put the videos up on our social stuff, everything, wherever, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you want to find it, it's there. The way he acted when he put the fettuccine Alfredo in his mouth was as if he bit down on glass. Like he's like, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it, guys, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it.
This is really bad.
I go, wait, what's wrong with it? He goes, well, it's really bad.
It's bad.
Okay.
I thought it was going to taste like bleach or something.
It was fine.
It tasted exactly like I expected.
It was edible.
Yeah.
We ate it.
It was all right. I had a good lunch.
I had a great lunch.
It was delicious.
It was fun hanging out with my friends.
Now, Yurko, on the other hand, and we'll get into this tomorrow. You know, for a guy that eats a lot, I think he would admit that about himself. He eats a lot.
Yeah.
He didn't eat much. He ordered a lot.
He ordered a lot of food.
He didn't eat much.
The waitress came over. She goes, can I get you guys something to drink? We all said water. And he goes, let's get started with a little calamari, a little fried shrimp. And why don't you get me some pasta fazool over here? And why don't we do a salad and breadsticks for the table? And we were like, we literally just sat down. We haven't even opened the menu. And he's already ordering. And then he took like 3 bites of each.
He had the tour of Italy.
Yeah,
he ordered it and barely ate it.
And then he ordered the tour of Italy and didn't eat any of it.
Didn't eat any of it. So that's absolutely something we're going to have to get into tomorrow. Carmen and Yurko at noon tomorrow. We'll discuss the entire trip. We took a guy's trip up to the Olive Garden.
One of the leftovers, guys.
Kevin Zipak, hello. Well, you know, congratulations to the White Sox.
A lack of lollygagging.
As the White Sox win the baseball game, and then boom, Kevin Zipak's now in the studio. Sean Graney's here. Kevin, we actually put together a shrimp box to go.
It was a shrimp and calamari box, fried stuff.
But then we stopped at Longman and Eagle in Logan Square on our way back to the studio, and we forgot it on the bar.
I left. That's me. So I was in charge of it. I left it on the bar.
So if you stop by Longman Eagle later tonight and you're at the bar and there's a container of leftover Olive Garden appetizers, that's from us. We left it there.
Sorry, guys.
It was for you, Kevin.
Great. Yeah. It's a thought that counts. That's all I have for dinner.
First of all, texted us that you said you wouldn't eat it or you wouldn't feed it to a dog. Is what you said.
That was a joke. It was
sure
a rib. It's just a rib.
It was that moment that I left it at the bar.
Yeah. Before we get into some Bears conversation, I want to remind people, if you're looking for the Black and Abdallah show this summer, when the White Sox are on our airwaves here on ESPN 1000, make sure that, it's a special announcement. Make sure you're subscribed to the Black and Abdallah channel on YouTube. That's where the show will live in the summer when there's White Sox baseball on the airwaves here at night on ESPN 1000. So we'll have new shows right there. Subscribe to the channel, Black and Abdallah on YouTube. We have a ton of great content already posted. This week, we talked to Mike Golic Jr. Mm-hmm. We also talked to Antonio Morales, who covers USC football for The Athletic. Two great conversations about Caleb Williams, about the Bears, about the future of the quarterback and Caleb Williams. So a lot of great, fun content that's all right there on the YouTube page, Black and Abdallah. Make sure you subscribe because when there's a normal evening in the summer and the White Sox are playing here on ESPN 1000, our show will live on the YouTube page. So make sure you subscribe, like, and tell a friend.
Yeah, you can also click that little bell button and get an alert every time we post something. Do that. Do that too.
Boom.
Get an alert.
So I just want to make sure people understand we haven't been on this week to this point. So I just want to make sure everyone knows where we're at. Make sure you subscribe to the channel right there. Tons of stuff with the NFL draft coming up next week. We talked to our friend Connor Rogers, Brett Coleman. Even David Kaplan has made an appearance on the Black and Abdallah YouTube page. So make sure you subscribe
and me
right there. And Kevin Zipak. Yeah, Kevin filled in for you one day last week.
I know, the reviews were there.
To be honest, Danny Zerman, director of content here at ESPN 1000, gave glowing reviews of Kevin Zipak.
He did.
On the show.
Watch your back, Abdallah.
So there you go.
You're literally watching my back right now.
That's where he's positioned in the studio. So make sure you subscribe. That's the message. I want to talk Bears with you as we get into things tonight, Abdallah, because Kevin Warren started as the Bears president and CEO exactly 1 year ago today. April 17th, 2023 was the first day on the job for Kevin Warren. And I wanted to kind of take a temperature of the room on how the first year has gone for Kevin Warren and the Chicago Bears. Because quite honestly, not really a lot. There hasn't been a lot that he's really affected at the moment, because I think he took the approach of he wanted to come in and observe what's going on with the franchise, what's going on with the team on the field, what's going on in the stadium situation. So like, if you look at the different pillars to what the president and CEO of the Chicago Bears would kind of have his hands involved in, you know, right now you look at the team and it's definitely pointing up, right? Like, this is one of the best vibes that we've had as Bears fans about a team going into an off season in quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, the 2018 team was really good and we expected a lot more after that season. It didn't happen, but like, the vibes were great at that point. But right now, it feels like Bears fans, we're on the cusp of something great.
No, it does. And I think that, you know, there's no stadium announcement. There's no renderings. There's none of that kind of stuff from what he was kind of brought in to do. But I do think that having a better person in charge than Ted Phillips to kind of oversee everything, and it's not like Kevin Warren came in and made rash decisions, right? Like, there was a whole thing, and everybody talked about it whenever they were on a nationally televised game, about how he was just kind of sitting back and observing and then was going to make decisions later. And I know that Ryan Poles has the autonomy to make decisions about the football team, but I think that he's highly influenced by what Kevin Warren thinks. I think that they bounce ideas off each other. I think that Ryan Poles uses him for a sounding board, gets advice from him. I do think that keeping Matt Eberflus is a joint decision of Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren. You know, a new president comes in. I understand he's not a football guy, but if a new president, after starting the year, after going only from 3 wins to 7 wins and bringing in a new quarterback, could have easily have said, we want an offensive-minded head coach, and everybody would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, no one would have batted an eye. You wouldn't have had the fans that were calling in the way they were calling about Justin Fields, right? Sure. And I think that that's because Ryan Poles also wanted to keep Matt Eberflus, but Kevin Warren could have come in and said, I'm the president of the team. We're getting an offensive-minded head coach, right? But he didn't. So I think that there is a lot of influence, and I think the arrow is definitely pointing up as we're almost a week away, we're 8 days away from the NFL draft, that, like you said, the vibes right now are immaculate.
Yeah, and you look at the team on the field and then also coaching staff, it feels like it's all pointing up. It's all positive. The other pillar of what Kevin Warren is, as you said, was brought in here to kind of man the team for would be the stadium development situation. At the moment, I don't think it's pointing up. It's question marks because we don't know. You know, it kind of felt like the vibes a year ago were pointing up because it was a slam dunk that they were going to build in Arlington Heights. But that seems to not be the plan anymore. It seems like they want to build on the lakefront, and I'm just not sure how that's going to work because we haven't seen renderings or plans. We've heard of where they would like to place a new stadium on the Waldron Deck just south of the actual Soldier Field that's standing at this moment. But, you know, with the stadium thing, that's going to be a long play on whether or not Bears fans would be happy or sad about the way that development kind of goes, or if they'll be thrilled. Like, that's going to take years until we can have a judgment on that. But I do think the moment we get renderings and, like, an actual plan in place, I think Bears fans may have their opinion swayed based on what the first impression of what the renderings are.
Yeah.
That, because, like, you know, the last time we got renderings was like that last ditch effort from the mayor's office. Remember when they were suggesting to put just a dome over the current?
Yeah, they basically just covered Soldier Field.
And it was like, that's not going to, that will never work.
No.
So, like, when you look at the president and the CEO, coming in a year ago, it doesn't really feel a whole lot has really changed, but it does feel like this franchise is in a very stable place.
I think that a lot of fans, I think we care a lot more about the stadium than the average fan.
Really?
Yes. I think that the people that go care the most, obviously, because they have season tickets and they go. But I really don't think, like, think about all of the Bears fans in Illinois.
Yeah.
Think about all of the Bears fans. It's just a small percentage that actually go to games. So as long as the team is winning and they've got the right guy in charge in and the hierarchy is set with Warren, Poles, Eberflus, whatever, then I don't think that fans are like I don't think that Bears fans are sitting waking up every day checking Twitter and being like, where are my renderings? Like, they're not. I think we care and we report on it a lot because it's our job. But I don't. I think as long as the team is winning, and if Caleb Williams comes in here and the Bears end up winning 10 games and making the playoffs, no one's going to care about the stadium that much. Like, yeah, we're going to mention it, but like our day-to-day flow of talking about the football season isn't going to be any different.
I don't know about you, but I love looking at stadium renderings.
Yeah, I know you do.
I sit around and I like to dissect. Yeah, I like to
that's
admire.
A weird thing to do, man.
You know, like those stadium renderings that were released for the A's in Las Vegas, those were special,
yeah,
my man.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I like a good rendering. It's great. I really enjoy it.
You're the small minority that goes to games.
I'm the one person.
You have season tickets.
Well, no, I just like, I don't have season tickets to the A's. I know, stadium. News and information and infrastructure and plans. I like all that stuff. 312-332-3776. It's Black and Abdallah. We're here for another 25 minutes with you. We'll take your calls next.
Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Eberflus.
Black and Abdallah are back. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. On FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000.
Join the conversation. You can call us at 312-332-3776. Robert in Indiana, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Robert?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
What's up, Robert?
I don't not too much, man. Actually, I'm kind of worried about, like we were talking about at the end of the last season for the Chicago Bears, talking about Eberflus being the head coach. I think he was more of a concern than Fields at the time, and come turn around. I mean, you could tell that Fields was absolutely nervous, and just he didn't want to play that game that Eberflus wanted. It's just that you think he's going to scare. Oh my God, what the heck's his name? Yeah, he's just going to be able to. Coach Williams. So
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a little nervous right now, but
Don't be nervous, Robert.
Yeah, so it a concern if so Caleb Williams being worried because Eberflus is going to be here? I think the players played for Eberflus last season. I don't think the inability of Justin Fields at quarterback really has much to do with Eberflus at all.
I kind of beg to differ. I mean, I don't know. Just look what he did to him from one year to the other. He tried transforming him into being a pocket quarterback and scaring him into...
He couldn't do it. You know, I think that's going to be the difference between Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. Caleb Williams wants to be a pocket quarterback, and I think he'll be able to get it done.
Well, I hope so, too. But, I mean, I don't know why they didn't even look at Harbaugh as a head coach, you know, toward the end of last season or anything.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know, man. I want your thoughts on it.
All right, Robert, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, listen, you and I both were on the Harbaugh train, so
yeah.
I don't disagree with Robert there. But at the end of last season, the players were clearly playing for Matt Eberflus, and the defense was improving, especially in the last 2 months of the season. So I'm not going to look at the poor play of the quarterback and put that on Eberflus. If the defense was struggling, then I would point to Eberflus and say there's a real issue here. I think a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, I think things will be much better.
I don't know why people think that like Eberflus can't be a good head coach. You can have a good head coach and have a good offensive coordinator that leaves after a couple of years, then you get another offensive coordinator, then you promote, or you get another offensive coordinator, and then, or you know, and then you do the same thing. Like, coaches do it all the time. Like, there are a lot of successful coaches that aren't offensive minded head coaches.
Oh yeah, yeah, then no doubt with that. But to answer your question, why can't he be a great head coach? My response to you on that would be there were times where he's shown that there have been mistakes,
of course,
based on his decision making in games.
But people,
therefore, that's why he might not be a great coach.
But people,
the defense
can learn.
Improved. Yeah, people can learn. But then, like, go back to the decisions made at the end of the Broncos game.
Okay,
those decisions, right? There was a field goal situation there that.
Yeah.
Timeouts at the end of halves and at the end of games have been questionable with Eberflus.
Yeah.
So there are things you can point to criticize him. But I think at the end of last season, he actually had more good than bad on his ledger.
Yes, that is true. But I also think that now that he's gone through this first 2 years as being a head coach, kind of learning on the job, that now when these decisions matter even more, because in a 3-win season, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. In a 7-win season, I would argue that like the way they started the season, you're like, even if this team makes the playoffs, like they're going to get their ass kicked.
That's why it was a big deal that the players were playing for him.
Yes.
And in the interactions you and I had with players, TJ Edwards, Eddie Jackson last season,
yeah,
they really liked Eberflus.
So if you're making those mistakes then when you're already having a losing season and you can get rid of those mistakes and learn from them and be a better head coach, and let's say he did, like every... Even good head coaches, we come in on Mondays and rip coaches every week because of boneheaded mistakes that they make, whether it's Bill Belichick, whether it's whoever it is. Like, I guarantee you Harbaugh's going to make mistakes with the Chargers. It happens. I still think that there's a world where Matt Eberflus can be a good head coach.
Mark in Long Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's going on? First time, long time. Thanks
Welcome.
For having me. I was going to talk about the stadium, but... The last caller talking about Flus, I think he did a great job. I mean, he had to fire two coaches early in the season. They lost several games to start the season. It looked like they were going to have the number one draft pick again, just based on their record. Let's see what he does with a winning record. I mean, he was such a great leader. He did a great job with the defense. And, you know, look at Dan Campbell. Head coaches are making mistakes all the time. You think Dan Campbell's second-guessing whether he should have taken the points or going for it in fourth down?
Oh, yeah, he was definitely second-guessed. And you're right, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, the coaches are going to be second-guessed, and I think the development of Eberflus as a first-time head coach, we mm-hmm. saw a little of that. It was a rough start last year.
Yeah.
And then into his second season, the start of the season, he was up against it.
Of course.
Like in that game against the Chiefs, when they're getting blown out and they're showing Taylor Swift every other cutaway on TV, like how many of us thought that Eberflus was going to make it through this season?
None.
No. When that was happening and they're putting up a 40-piece and the offense is doing nothing,
yeah,
I was sitting there watching the game going, oh, they're going to have to fire everyone.
That's why it's a long season, and he earned his way back into being the head coach.
James in St. Charles, you're on ESPN 1000. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
How much, man?
What's up? My biggest thing is I love the direction the team's going. I think that they have stability with Poles, Warren. I like what I see. It feels different than it has in 20-plus years. My big thing is I'm so big on them going to Arlington. I've worked in the restaurant industry all along Chicagoland for 35-plus years. I live in the Geneva-St. Charles area. I know so many people out here that want it so badly to go to Arlington. You got Schaumburg, Naperville, Geneva, St. Charles. You have prominent suburbs that have money. People are going to spend money. But I know a lot of people don't like going all the way down to the city just because of how much of a pain it is and how much you got to walk, and it's just an all-day event. You can have people get the train from the city. We could take the train if you're in Arlington. You have the access. You have the space. You know, everything has changed so much now. It's not always about, oh, we want the – picturesque lakefront. You know what I mean? Like, give us mm-hmm. a compound where we have places to go, things to do year round. Like, look what they're doing in Dallas. You know what I mean? And like, for me, like, the last game I went to was the Raiders
game this year. Prior to that, last game I went to, and I love my Bears, last game I went to was the inaugural game after they remodeled it. Because I just hate going down to the city because it's such a pain in the way that it's set up. You can do so much in Arlington. You have so much money. I would like for you guys to take a poll online and say, how many of you that go to Bears games live in the suburbs proper? How many of you live downtown? Because I guarantee you there's going to be more people probably that go to the games that are from the suburbs than people that live in the city proper. I would love to, like, find a way to see that demographic, like, that graphic. You know what I mean? That's all I wanted to say. Like, I just really want them badly to go to Arlington.
Thanks, James. Abdallah, put that on the poll.
At what? At ESPN Chicago?
No, on yours. Put it on your poll. Yeah, poll it. Do you like going to the game? Are you in suburbs?
Do you like going to the games?
Are you live in the city?
Are you in the suburbs or in the city?
Yeah.
Yeah, put it on your poll.
Put it on your poll.
You put it on your poll over there.
I can't stay away from my poll.
Oh, I miss this. I miss this. Hey, Kevin Zipak.
Hey.
Are you aware that I was on the news earlier today? The 4:30 news on ABC 7?
No, I was not, actually. Was it like when Charlie was on the news? Were you golfing?
No, I wasn't golfing. But yes, a few weeks back, Charlie was on the NBC 5 news. Charlie Bevins, a producer here at ESPN 1000. This is Charlie on the news.
I usually tell people, you know, February is the month to avoid. Like, that's when you don't want to be here, but it was just so nice today. I texted a couple friends seeing if they wanted to get out there, so we just played 9.
When's the last time you can remember golfing here in February?
I don't think I ever have.
See, there you go. There's Charlie.
Which was a lie, because he told us that he had never done it, and he knows that he had never done it, so he's lying.
I don't think I ever have. Evelyn Holmes wanted to talk about the WNBA, and I, boom, 4:30 news, ABC 7, Chris Black.
All the excitement is huge for the city of Chicago women's basketball and is great for Chicago sports fans.
In this city, there's many teams that it seems like they're not trying to win. So if you can get some stars in here and teams that want to win, it should be a lot of fun.
Evelyn Holmes, ABC 7, Eyewitness News.
You talked to Evelyn for like 5 minutes.
I know.
And all they cut was you taking a shot at the Reinsdorfs. A veiled shot at the Reinsdorfs. That's all they took.
I'm glad that everything I said, that's what made the cut. Kevin, what do you think? Who had the better news snippet?
Charlie.
When's the last time you can remember golfing here in February?
I don't think I ever have.
All the excitement is huge for the city of Chicago women's basketball and is great for Chicago sports fans.
In this city, there's many teams that it seems like they're not trying to win. So if you can get some stars in here and teams that want to win, it should be a lot of fun.
Did you get my joke?
Evelyn Holmes, ABC 7, Eyewitness News.
Yeah, Charlie cleared you.
I don't think I ever have versus, you know, I don't know if there's...
When's the last time you can remember golfing here in February?
I don't think I ever have.
We have the song of the night coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you to Kevin Zipak and Sean Graney. Make sure you subscribe to the Black and Abdallah YouTube channel. That's where the show is when White Sox baseball is on the air throughout the summer. New episodes will be right there on the YouTube channel. Black and Abdallah, make sure you subscribe. Time for the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Show tomorrow, it's just 7:30.
Never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's song of the night.
We had to go quick.
No, later.
Tonight's song, we go to the Pixies. Here comes your man. 1989. It's your song. With Black and Abdallah.
Outside there's a box car waiting.
We got Joseph Gordon-Levitt again.
Outside there's an endless door. Out by the fire freezing. Outside we wait till face turns blue. I know the nervous walking. I know the dirty bed hat.
listening to the Pixies. Here comes your man off the album, Doolittle.
This album was released 35 years ago today.
Wow.
April 17th, 1989. Doolittle released.
Pitchfork, weirdly enough, called this one of the top 100 albums, number four of the 80s. The fourth most important album of the 80s. Yeah.
The fourth most important album.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, they're hipsters, so.
Are you a fan?
Okay. With the Pixies, I either really like it or I really hate it. I dated a girl once that was really into the Pixies, and I feel like that tarnished my like of the Pixies.
That's so out of character for you.
I know, right? Yeah, it's kind of obvious that she would like the Pixies.
Was her name Summer?
Her name was not Summer. This is from the movie 500 Days of Summer. It was featured in the movie. Great film. It is a very good movie. And the scene where they're doing this karaoke is actually pretty good. But yeah, they're fine. I've seen them a couple times. They're decent live. They're good. They're not. I don't hate them. They're not Radiohead. So,
Z-Pack, is this a band up your alley?
Yeah, this is a fantastic song off one of the best albums of the 80s or any generation.
Exactly.
I never got into the Pixies.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
Sorry, it's not Luke Bryan, Chris.
Oh, wow. First of all, Luke Bryan is terrible.
Yeah, Luke Bryan is bad. Real quick, can I give a shout out to everyone that came yesterday to Jake Melnick's for the Lagunitas Trivia Night? It was awesome. We had a ton of fun. Paolo in the Twitch chat won the Cubs tickets.
The North Side tickets.
We already gave them away, so whatever. But yeah, it was fun. Thank you to Lagunitas. Thank you to Jake Melnick's. It was awesome. We'll do one again soon. So yeah, thanks for everybody for coming out.
Fantastic. All right, there you go. Your song of the night, Pixies. Here Comes Your Man from 1989.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Chicago's home for sports. Bleck and Abdullah. ESPN Chicago.